This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to your noon hour with Newsmakers. Brent is actually missing in action today. He's took a surprise trip to him because he forgot about it. So joining me now in the studio is TJ Sullivan. And what's your title today, TJ?
It's community activist still. I think we're going to roll with that for a little while.
Oh, community activist. All right.
Yeah, and, all around good guy.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And of course, it's Tuesday, which means we have Mayor Chuck Bennett with us from the city of Salem. Yeah. Welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
So, lots of good things going on.
The thing I always like to do with Chuck is I always tell people, just shut your eyes, and I want you to think of Papa Smurf. He's the wise counsel.
Now that I see,
I know.
You'll never see me again.
I'm never going to see it the same way.
I actually thought of getting one of those little blue hats.
It would actually fit.
Yeah. It would. It would, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm glad I'm here today. This is always my favorite opportunity to come in and fill in for Brent. And he sent me something about irritable bowel, so I don't know.
I thought it was his son sworn into the Marines.
Oh, that could be it.
That
too.
Was last That's, weekend.
That was last weekend. Okay.
It could be something like that. I don't know. But it's always it's always a great treat to come in here because I'm not trying to change your mind about anything. I'm just here to empty mine about everything. And it's a great time to be in Salem, Oregon. We got there's just a lot of cool things that are happening in our city. Sprague Little League, the 12-year-olds are going to San Bernardino to represent our state. They had a hard-fought victory. I think they won 9-8. Came from behind to win, and this is a big deal.
It is.
To go and do this. They're going to be playing on ESPN.
ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus, excuse me. And nice poll, Mayor.
That's not bad. Yeah. I was corrected the other night. We had them into the city council meeting, had the whole team, their parents, the coaches. This is an outstanding group of kids that have really made a tremendous accomplishment to make it this far.
And it's something that I think we're building here in the Salem area, the baseball programs. One of the things we figured out is that it rains like 6 months out of the year here.
Yeah.
And so one of the great things to get kids involved in is to get them inside hitting and fielding and working on their pitching. And a lot of these kids have dedicated a great amount of time to becoming really good baseball players. And I think this is going to be an economic driver in our area for a while because we're starting to see teams from the Salem area win more and more as they get up in the higher levels. South Salem High School was really close to winning the state championship this last year. And now these guys, and I know a lot of the kids on this team, super excited for them. There are a whole bunch of talented kids, but they're just not intimidated by anybody.
Well, they're going to do a great job, and if they're successful, they're on to the World Series.
That's right.
Of their league, and that's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, you get to go back to it's not Omaha, Nebraska. I can't remember.
Some exotic
Midwest city in summertime. I hear it's beautiful there, but
yeah, it's really something.
Omaha's for the College World Series.
That's right.
But I'm excited for these guys. It's going to be a good thing. And tomorrow night, LB Day Amphitheater, we've got Kane Brown coming to Salem, and this guy back when before he became who he is now. Somebody at Family Building Blocks, Rich Schultz with Cherry City Metals, who's the president of their board, knew that this guy was going to take off, and he got him booked to come to Salem basically as a fundraiser for Family Building Blocks. And then all of a sudden, this guy just decided to go nuts and take over the country music world. And this is like getting Garth Brooks to come to Salem before he releases I Got Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
And so tickets are still available, but from what I understand, 7,000 plus people have already got tickets to come see this guy in concert. And so tomorrow night, I know there's a lot of you that are out there hurting for ideas for date night. This is a great opportunity. So you can say, I saw Kane Brown before he, you know, really, really took off.
So Wednesday night.
Yep, Wednesday night is the
Where do you get a ticket?
Go to Family Building Blocks, and or you just type in Kane Brown, Salem, Oregon, and there'll be a whole bunch of different opportunities to buy tickets.
Well, that's fantastic. That really is. We're really lucky that we have the kind of contacts between our nonprofits, our business community, our local government, state government. We tend to get some really great outcomes from those kind of contacts, that kind of synergy. So
yeah, absolutely.
Good for...
Well, Family Building Blocks is a huge resource in our community.
Yeah.
And it's really probably the premier relief nursery in the state. And you take it for granted, you know, because as a parent, before we had kids, you know, I read up everything I could read. But there's people out there that are having kids that are ill-equipped. They don't know what they're doing. They're scared. They didn't have parents modeling for them what it looks like to be a responsible parent. And you start to see the trajectory of their kids' lives. And there's a lot of people in this community that are finding these people and saying, hey, you really need to contact Family Building Blocks. And Family Building Blocks then gets their kids in, gets the parents in, and they go to work on both of them. And they start to work on those kids' brains when they're really in that important development stage. And they're working with those parents saying, hey, when we're not around, this is what you need to do to make sure that your kid develops in the healthiest way possible.
Yeah, it's
and so it's a huge resource for us. And what I love about this is how you know you live in a great country. When you can buy tickets and go see Kane Brown and enjoy the heck out of your Wednesday night, and you're helping a great resource like Family Building Blocks, that's how you know you live in a great country.
Really, I have an opportunity this afternoon. I'll be over joining United Way in Arches, opening up their shower restroom facility, traveling facility. It's in a trailer that United Way purchased to assist homeless folks with showers and other services that they need. And again, it's United Way at work. And I've got to really compliment Ron Hayes. He's also, like many of our other nonprofit organizations, focusing on parts of the community where they can have a real impact, like Family Building Blocks. United Way has really been taking on the homeless issues, a variety of things where government just can't get there for all of it and can't get there fast enough. It's not quite as nimble sometimes as the nonprofits are. And in this case, I'm really excited about it. I think these guys are doing a great job. But we're really lucky here to have these kinds of nonprofits in the community.
Well, you know, the funny thing about that mobile shower unit is I need them to come to my son's baseball team, because some of these kids on my son's team, the idea of showering is a foreign concept to them. And I know this because we get into the team huddle, and I suddenly regret
getting that close,
getting the huddle going. So,
all right, well, let's talk some city stuff.
Oh, okay.
After the break.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we're with Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett and T.J. Sullivan.
You almost said Salem Mayor Papa Smurf.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I was thinking.
Watch yourself.
Sure.
Yeah.
This
Watch
is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne, and Brent is off today on a little gallivanting trip somewhere. He'll be back again on Thursday. But with us now is T.J. Sullivan, community activist, as he calls himself, and Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett. So let's talk a little City of Salem news. Anything going on?
Well, I think right now, if you've got a kid between the ages of 2 and 20, you got to get them downtown.
2 and 20, huh?
2 and 20. I mean, I don't want to, you know, generalize or cut somebody out of the fun. I think that right now you've got the daylighting in Pringle Creek, and that's I get more people asking me about that that is if you are going past South Block or going towards South Block on Commercial, there's a bunch of work that's happening down in the creek area where the Boise Cascade, one of the Boise Cascade buildings used to reside.
If you want a really good view, get on to that Commercial Street Bridge right mm-hmm. there, and you can look down on it. It's part of the overall city project to revitalize Pringle Creek, and then we're going to be completing a pathway hanging bridge along where under the Commercial Street Bridge that'll connect really from 12th Street all the way through along the creek down to Riverfront Park. It's really going to be a fantastic walkway. Hmm. Right now you got to stop at the Commercial Street Bridge because it's interrupted.
Right, but when you go there and you watch the work that's happening, and I've been talking to the guy who is in charge of that project, it's fascinating. I mean, all of the different entities that have to regulate what they're doing because this is a waterway.
Yeah.
And when you're doing construction, you know, in a riparian zone, there's all kinds of different issues. And one of the things he told me, he's like, you would be amazed at how many fish there are coming through Pringle Creek.
Yeah.
And so they're getting in there and they're going to tear out all the concrete that's there. And they're going to actually recontour the creek in that area. They're bringing in landscaping, and they're going to have a path that's going to connect underneath all the way into Riverfront Park.
Yeah.
And I just think that alone, when it's done, is going to be a welcome addition. It's going to be a thing of beauty to see.
Yeah.
And one more reason to go downtown.
Well, it just adds to that really extensive pathway we've got downtown. Really running now from the Richmond neighborhood northeast over at the 12th Street end of Willamette all the way down, connecting into Mindo Brown Island. It's a great bikeway pathway. It really is quite beautiful. And I think when that's all connected, it's going to be one more of those really great pathways here in the city that keeps you out of traffic and next to the natural environment of Salem. So, I mean, I remember years, and I don't know how many years ago, it seems like years and years ago, we would see salmon coming up that creek, and I'm hoping someday to see that again. There was a lot of spawning that actually went up that creek. So.
Well, there's a couple of bald eagles now that reside. I watch them out my window over there, so I think they're hoping that the salmon come back.
I think
too.
They're watching for it. Yeah, they heard that was
happening. They're waiting for their dinner.
And if you aren't getting enough construction with that, across the street was the removal. If you didn't see it, it was worth driving by a couple times on Commercial Street. The old Marion Garage came down, which is one of those kind of unbelievable buildings. It was a historic building, but it's I know it's like those if you remember as a kid, if you're my age, those little tin garages you'd get that had a little wind up that lift cars up and down and all this other stuff. It was that kind of a garage, but it has come down to make way for, I believe it's going to be a 6-story hotel.
Yeah.
With a rooftop restaurant, the whole shebang.
Yeah, $43 million, alleged $43 million investment, taking advantage of the opportunity zones that have been created at the federal level. And there's a person out of Portland who's taking advantage of these opportunity zones, and she's, you know, bringing in folks to invest in the fund, and it's a great opportunity. People don't realize how busy the conference center is.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are looking at expanding the conference center.
Going to be expanding, we hope, the kitchen and their meeting room availability. They just need additional space over there. That convention center, from the day it opened, has been a roaring success. It really is quite remarkable. We were, of course, warned you will lose money on this convention center. That turned out to be maybe in some other community, but not in Salem. It has been constantly used and really needs additional space.
Yeah. I remember sitting through those meetings and having, you know, people just, I mean, red-faced with anger over and really at the time, you know, you don't know your community then, because we had really one meeting space in town, and that was the Red Lion, yeah, the old Red Lion out on Market Street, which, you know, if you're bringing people into your community, like, hey, welcome to Salem, look at our beautiful Red Lion. And, you know, it's not exactly the selling point that you want to have.
It's been remodeled. It's a really a beautiful building right now. They've really done a fantastic job.
They have. They've done a great job with that. But again, if you're doing if you want to do a large scale conference here, we didn't have the ability.
Just didn't
to
have
do
enough
that.
Space. And it's out by the freeway interchange. This brings people downtown, which is. Resulted in a restaurant atmosphere and shopping atmosphere that's just really hard to beat.
Yeah.
And I think folks, if they will come downtown and take advantage of what's there, they'll truly enjoy themselves. And I think in many cases be surprised. I have a lot of people who have come to town after, oh, they've been away for 5-10 years. They come back to town. It's like, what happened here?
Yeah,
an explosion. Yeah, an explosion
has happened.
Well, you know, the thing that I just had a chance to encounter was the Zagster bikes that are around town.
Yeah, so, I got to kick that off.
I know. I saw that picture, and I was thinking back to when you got to kick off the ice skating rink.
Yeah, how's that going? Yeah.
I'm like, where's the helmet, Chuck? I didn't see the helmet in the picture. No more head injuries.
Well, I'm riding this thing, and the tire exploded. I mean, it just literally exploded.
Is there video of this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to Google
it. It wasn't
that.
A wipeout, though. I mean, you're still
No,
upright.
I was still standing. I wasn't on my head.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, our building, Parkfront, is one of the virtual locations where you can pick up and deposit a bike at. And the other Saturday, I was down there, you know, working, because as an owner of a company, you get to work on Saturdays. And there was people returning bikes, and so I had a chance to talk to them. And they were down from the Seattle area, and they came and got a bike, and they were riding around Minto Brown. And, I mean, they were just, they had nothing but great things to say about our community. And it's one more thing that's happening that encourages people to be downtown, which encourages interaction with people that you might not normally interact with.
Yeah.
But also from a commerce standpoint, they're spending money to rent the bikes. They're spending money to eat downtown. They're spending money to, you know, ride the carousel downtown. And they're coming back to Seattle with lots of positive things to say about Salem, and that's not always been the case here.
Yeah,
and a lot of that groundwork was laid with the conference center, and that expansion is really going to help and bring in more conferences, more room nights, and, you know, for a city that relies on property taxes, having somebody come in and build a $43 million hotel is going to be huge.
It's a very big deal. And well, while you were working on Saturday, I'm retired, so I don't have to work on Saturday anymore. And so I went down to the Capitol Mall, and there was the Salem Symphonia Orchestra put on a concert, just a
Symphonia?
Free concert.
I don't think that's a word.
Something like
It sounds good.
Symphony.
It was Symphonia.
Symphonia.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Somebody out there listening, please let us know if Symphonia is a word.
I'm going to look it up.
Somebody
right
will
now.
Fix that.
Okay.
but they had representatives from three orchestral groups in the region, and put on a concert of patriotic and classical music there. It was put on by the Oregon Capitol Foundation. And then they opened the Capitol for a special day of come visit the People's House, go on up and visit the Gold Man. They had a couple of special tours up onto the dome of the Capitol, the top of the Capitol building. It was there were several hundred people came down. It
awesome.
Was really great. It's just this kind of stuff is going on. You really have to watch the event pages to keep up with all the stuff going on here.
If you go to gosalem365.com, that's a great resource for finding out what's happening in all manner of. We have 13 theaters in downtown.
Yeah.
And you plus all the restaurants. And so if you want to keep up with all of it, that's where you need to go. GoSalem365.com. We're going to have some great concerts coming up down at the Elsinore. I know that Enlightened Theatrics is going to have their Christmas performance coming online here pretty soon. A Rocky Horror Picture Show, if any of either of you guys are interested in getting dressed up and going to see that. That's coming up.
I had a chance to do that when it was out originally. I never got involved in that.
Do you dress up for
that?
You go as Frankenfurter, or who do you go as?
It's scary that you know all the characters, Mayor.
Hey, it's my generation.
Yeah, okay. Symphonia is an actual word.
Yeah, I thought so.
Nice.
Okay. That's okay. No, you should always correct the mayor.
Defined as a musical unison.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
There's probably going to be a boot on my car when I go out.
All right. It's time to take a break. Do you have more for us, Mayor, or are you leaving us now?
I can stick around for a few minutes.
I think you should stay. Yeah, no, this is good.
Yeah, well, I always love seeing TK.
Yeah, well, last time you wanted to leave to go weed your yard, we can't let you do that.
I am retired.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, Brent is off today. TJ Sullivan is here, guest hosting with me, Dave Bourne, along with Mayor Chuck Bennett. And we will be back in just a few minutes here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent DeHart is out today. TJ Sullivan's sitting in, the community activist, as he calls himself, slash insurance guy, slash good all around great guy.
Community leader.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's a community leader.
Yeah, that's not that.
People
that's questionable.
Refer to him that way.
I keep pissing off the right people, so I think I'm
that makes you a community leader.
You're doing something right.
Mayor Chuck Bennett of Salem is here with us. He decided to stay, and it's funny how you always decide to stay a little longer when TJ is sitting
there. I enjoy seeing TJ.
What am I, chopped liver?
I like seeing you.
Okay.
Brent's the cold blanket.
Yeah, wet blanket.
All business.
Right. Chuck and I, we had more fun when we were on council together. It was always my goal was to make Chuck laugh at inopportune times.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Council meetings.
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah, you gotta lighten it up.
Because
there's not a lot to laugh about.
Oh, geez, if you're talking about wastewater rates and you can't have a little bit of fun with that, then you're just not living.
Or taxes.
Or taxes, right, which I know that you've been talking about. I think this is something, though, that, right now in this state, we're dealing with this PERS animal that is just consuming municipalities and government entities all the way around. And Salem's no different, even though, we've taken a lot of steps that other municipalities haven't taken.
Right.
Back when I was on council, we bonded a bunch of the debt, which was a risky decision at the time. Made sense. Thankfully, we had somebody like Bob Wells, who was our city manager, who really understood the ins and outs of the finances. And even with that, we're still looking at huge budget deficits.
It's still, though, that bonding decision continues to ripple through the system and help the side accounts, which is sort of the profit from the bond, that kind of and it gets more arcane than I can do, but there actually is a little extra money to help offset some of the PERS costs. One of the PERS issues with the city of Salem, and it's unusual, we hear different things. The school district has a different situation than we do. We have a fairly old employment group that are heading more rapidly toward retirement, but they're tier one, which is the highest cost retirement group. And that makes a real difference in our rates, because each of us, municipalities, school districts, the state, through the actuarial tables are billed differently. And we tend to run reasonably high. And we will for many years to come, because you can't get at the cost of Tier 1. It really is a function of, through court decisions, of a deal's a deal, a contract's a contract. So we're moving forward. But like every other unit of government, we're facing substantial increases over time. And the city's finance folks and city manager have advised the council that within the next 2 years, we're going to start looking at serious budget cuts. And the result is, and I mean serious, we're talking in the millions of dollars. And the result is then, how do you deal with that? And what we did before during the recession, you were on the council at the time, we cut services. And I think what the manager and ultimately the city council's decided is to put the issue, to bring the issue forward and say, we have a solution. Well, the solution, now this is no surprise for anyone I'm sure listening, is more money. And the council is looking at two separate ways of raising money. One is an operating fee, which would go on to your utility bill, a flat rate somewhere between $6 and $8 a household, and it goes up for some commercial and industrial clients, but not exorbitant. I think we're heading up into the $40-$50 a month range as a short-term fix. And then a long-term fix is a proposed employee paid tax on their pay. And
they're considering both of these, right?
And they're considering both. One is more long-term because it's seen as a long-term. We're looking at a 20-year problem in terms of the cost of government. I mean, we're 81% of our budget is people with this escalation of PERS costs, as well as just the escalating cost of employees' pay, is resulting in what appear to be long-term shortfalls. I personally think we have a story we can tell, but I think we should go to the voters with these proposals. I tend to be very reluctant, well, not just reluctant, I just don't agree with just imposing a fee or a tax without going to the voters. I think, though, the majority of the council would like to just start solving this problem and may go ahead with the operating fee. I don't know how they will, and put it on the utility bill within the next few months. And then perhaps put the employee payroll tax out for a vote. But in my case, I just don't see how you do this without a vote and still keep faith with the voters and make sure that people understand what the finances of the city actually look like.
So this fee on the water bill or whatever?
It's your utility bill.
Utility bill. So that would be stopping the gap of the $6, $7 million hole that you have right now, and then the payroll tax would kind of cover the rest,
so that
we don't continue to go into debt all the time because the PERS is so much higher.
Yeah, and it's growing.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's not going to go down. There is nothing on the horizon that indicates it's going to go down
substantially. Didn't they do a fix on that?
They did some fixes, but it doesn't hit when you have an older work group that is primarily Tier 1. It just doesn't hit you on the short term. It doesn't provide the kind of relief we need. The other thing that's happening, I mean, let's be real honest, people are asking for more and more services.
Right.
They'd like to have their parks mowed. They'd like to have them operating well. We want recreation programs for the kids during summer. The homeless issue has become one that is reasonably new. We're only a couple of years into having direct homeless program, and we clearly need to do additional work on the homeless issues. Those cost. There's nothing free about any of these services. And so that shortfall is really a projected shortfall over the next couple of years. This year, we're not short. This year.
Yeah, because we've saved enough money that
to spend it.
We're
spending saved
money. Yeah, you're dipping into your savings, basically.
Exactly. And it's really our operating funds, and those are being depleted. And so what the manager and I think the majority of council is going to be proceeding with is trying to figure out how to kind of staunch that and then move forward.
And I think from a transparency standpoint, you know, we saw the bridge issue that came up in front of the council.
Yeah.
We took, you know, 3 hours of testimony. You had 100+ people in favor. You had 7 or 8 people opposed. And there was no debate from the council.
Yeah.
I mean, my city councilor sat there, didn't ask a question, didn't make a comment, and voted. And it really looked, a lot of people came out of that saying, it looks like the majority of counselors are meeting in private and arriving at decisions in private, and then voting without explaining their vote, without explaining what they're thinking. And I had encouraged them, the majority of those counselors, you need to get out and explain your decision making to people, because I promise you, you're severely in the minority now. And they really didn't. They sort of hid and didn't do their job, which I always feel like the role of a counselor in Salem is to be out meeting with the different groups in your community, business groups, neighborhood associations, civic groups, and explaining the decision making, explaining what's coming down the pipe, and explaining why you're going to vote the way that you're going to vote, and getting feedback on that ahead of time. And this is a great example of this. We're faced with a budget shortfall. We should be explaining as counselors what this budget shortfall means, what's going to be cut, and getting feedback from people who might be saying, you know what, when I was a city counselor, we cut the Parks and Rec department out of the city because we saw that it was coming, and we made money available for scholarships into nonprofits in our area, like the YMCA and like the Boys and Girls Club, that are doing these summer programs, and saying, you know what, we're not going to compete with you. You're doing this. We're not going to put money into another department in the city. And maybe that's the next step. And maybe residents would say, you know what, I hear what you're saying. You're going to charge me $6 to $8 a month on my utility bill. Probably going to go up as time goes on. And I would prefer, you know, I want to hear what you're going to cut. We know it's police and fire. You and I know that, because there's not a lot left for the city to cut other than police and fire out of the general fund. And so, but people need to hear that. And when you just pass it and there's little to no debate, it looks really bad to the general public. Like, these guys, these men and women are making decisions without talking to us about it.
Well, and that's, I think, and I felt the same way about the bridge. You should allow the public on these fairly major issues, like the level of service your city is going to provide, the kind of transportation system and infrastructure improvements you're going to offer. We do it with the Streets and Bridges Bond. We go to them, we explain what we'll be doing with the money. We have yet to be told no on keeping our streets up, adding sidewalks. But I think a big part of it is going out and talking to the public. And what I do worry about this, because I can't talk to you in 5 minutes off top of my head on a radio show and explain what the fiscal situation in the city is, and do it to the satisfaction of people who are both well-informed or not well-informed. And I think that's what elections give you the opportunity to do. And, oh, by the way, it's a shared understanding then, instead of just the feeling that somehow there's this little group that knows what's going on. I mean, I have people who tell me, look, we elect you because you know what's going on and you vote. Don't bother me.
Right.
Well, I don't think they really mean it that way.
Yeah.
Because I then look at information that indicates the public thinks there's a lot of money somewhere that can fill this gap, and we're just not telling them. And I think that's where transparency comes into play, that when we all understand, I have just great confidence that people will understand. This is a town that approved over $600 million for schools.
Right.
They approved a police station. They approved seismic upgrade for the library. The list goes on if it's explained and people have an opportunity to debate it, to understand it, to question their elected representatives, to make sure everybody's coming clean. And I'll be disappointed if we don't get an opportunity to go to the voters on this, because I think we will have a lot of folks really questioning over time the city's veracity on its fiscal issues.
Mayor? And
it deserves to be discussed.
It does. Thank you for coming in today.
You bet. Thank you.
That's Salem Mayor Chuck Bennett. TJ Sullivan is guest hosting today for Brent DeHart. I'm Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent DeHart off today. TJ Sullivan is sitting in, community activist, all around good guy, and you know, insurance guy, and
whatever you need, you can call me, and I can probably walk you through it.
Nice. So okay, that's good.
I'm here to help. And we talked about it a little bit earlier with Mayor Bennett, but the daylighting of Pringle Creek. This is something that I'm surprised at how excited people are. Because my building is down there, I've been asked by any number of people everywhere I go, what's happening there? And so we're joined with by Joel Zenny of Sulitoc.
Yep, that's right.
Close enough?
Yep, that's close enough.
It's Intuit for taking big things out of creeks, I think.
We're environmental protection is really what we go after, and we specialize in these water projects that are really complicated and take a lot of team effort to get accomplished.
Yeah, any time you go to do anything near a waterway, especially one that's got fish in it, there's all kinds of government entities that are reviewing and are interested in what you're doing and regulating what you're doing. And so I know that the work that you guys do is complicated. Anytime, yes. I've been watching this, and I've said earlier, like, if you've got kids, this is the place to go, because they're literally doing all the things that kids would play with when if they were playing with Tonka trucks, earth movers. They're literally doing all of that down in the creek right now.
Yeah, this is the spot to be. If you have a kid, you can sit right on the bridge and watch all day long. We're working 6 days a week right now, trying to make sure we get in the creek and get out.
The last couple weeks have been kind of staging, and then you guys are in there and you're tearing out the concrete right now.
Yep. Yep.
How much concrete do you think is down there?
I estimate just over 3,000 yards of concrete that's actually in there. Okay. We've probably removed close to 30% of it right now. This is kind of the easier time where we're at right now. When we start getting closer to the creek is where it gets a lot more complicated. We can't let any of the concrete fall on the creek, so well, there's a lot more tedious work that has to come.
How many agencies are sitting there watching you?
I think right now we have 4 on site all day.
Oh,
so
how many dead bodies have you found in the concrete?
Jeez, DJ.
So far, none. Just, thank goodness. So.
Okay, I thought maybe a Hoffa might be in there somewhere.
No, but luckily nothing. Luckily. Okay. So.
Well, good. So talk a little bit about your crew. How big of a crew?
Sure. So for this project, I really vary it for every project, but for this project, we have an 8-man crew. I have 5 operators and then 3 laborers, and they do a wide variety of tasks. But this project is really specific because it has so much concrete demolition in a stream, which is really rare. You know, usually you see that in a dam or something like that, but this isn't. This is downtown Salem. And so we have some really specialized equipment that is using less noise and less dust to make sure that we keep our work zone safe and our employees safe too.
So. What? No dynamite?
Nope. No dynamite.
Oh, man.
Nope. No jackhammers. So far, we haven't had to use it. We have one on site, but haven't had to use any jackhammers because we've got this special tool that's just working out great.
Yeah, nice.
Pretty cool to watch that tool work. I've often wondered, like, if there are people who are stressed out and they just need to just go beat the out of something for a little while. The guys that work for you, are they just completely stress-free?
For this job, absolutely. They're just relaxed and having a grand old time, and people switch, the operators are switching in and out, enjoying demo, and they're really having a blast out there.
Yeah. So you were telling me that you've seen a lot of fish in Pringle Creek, is that right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Awesome.
We see fish just about every day out there, and there's a lot of mitigations that we do to make sure those fish stay safe and can make passage up and down the creek.
So talk a little bit about from here. So you get are you removing all the concrete?
All the concrete will be removed except for where the South Block apartments are. They'll have their still nice walkway. So everything else will get removed. The creek actually shifts to the north about 100 feet or so. And so the next phase, once we remove the concrete, we'll be redoing the stream channel and putting fish logs in and making it really a natural state.
Awesome. So you're going to be, so right now there's a portion of the creek that you can see, right? And yep. So when you're talking about is you're going to be damming that up and recontouring that creek to move north as you, once you remove all that concrete out
That's
of there.
That's correct. Yep.
How long? Okay. So you're 30% of the way with removing concrete. So people still have time to come down and watch that process.
Yep.
And then from there, it's going to be making,
it's going to be a lot of excavations and a lot of placing of rocks and, it will be basically on the north side. There'll be a new trail that'll one day. Won't be the final completion, but it'll connect to the the Riverside
Riverfront Park.
Riverfront Park.
Yeah. So where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Springfield, and then my wife's from Kaiser. So,
okay. Yeah. So you guys get to come back up. I mean, is she coming back up here?
We've moved back. We're up here for the project. We move around all the time for different jobs wherever they are. We've got lucky enough that I work for the company that we do cool projects all across the state. So I've been in John Day, Baker City, Ashland, and a lot over. So.
And where does Salem rank in all the places that you've worked?
Quite high, and then it's also the best. It's probably one of the best projects we've gotten. It's most rewarding and exciting, and definitely complicated by all means. But we really like Salem a lot. So
I think the Salem community. I was telling you guys off the break. I put a picture on my Facebook page, and it just blew up with interest from this. And I think that a lot of people are going by wondering what's going to happen. And I think for me, what's going to be exciting is to see this project when it's done, rehabbing our Salem community. And it's going to be one more thing that's going to add to the attractiveness of our downtown. And just in talking with you, as I have in the weeks leading up to this, that there's a thoughtfulness and a thoroughness to your approach to this. And just the way that you've gone about it has been really great to see. So I just want to say welcome to Salem.
Thanks.
Thanks for the work that you're doing here. And this is going to be a great project. And know that Salem is definitely watching the work that you're doing.
Well, we appreciate that. And we are happy to work with you guys. And we want this project to be just as successful as everybody else because it's really important to us.
Have you found a good downtown restaurant yet?
I've actually found a few that I like. There's some definitely good ones. I'm impressed.
So. Awesome.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite food?
I like Thai. That's probably my favorite. All right.
But yeah, you got options in downtown.
Yes,
now,
we do. That's just great. Very unnormal for construction that we do. Usually, it's out in the middle of nowhere. So.
Sure. And now you have food and all that kind of good
stuff.
Now I can
walk to it. So.
Well, thanks for all the work you're doing, too.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. We got about 10 seconds.
All right. Well, get your kids, get downtown, check out all the cool things that are happening so that later in their life they can say, I remember when that was being put in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are working this Saturday if you want to come on down. So.
We're there. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Newsmakers. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.